Lord, for saving our soul. All right, I'm jumping right in the message. I'm in Philippians chapter 3. I have way too much stuff to get into, but we got a good start here, so we will get into it. We were in this case last week. We had a lot to preach on when we talked last week about the mind and having a stable mind. This week, we are going to be talking about the place of emotions. The place of emotions, Colossians chapter 3. And I will be moving pretty fast today so we can get hopefully through this. If not, we'll finish it off another time. Verse 12 says this: Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye also. And above all things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. All right, let's pray and ask God to bless the message. Father, we're asking for your power. We're asking for your spirit to move. We're asking for you to help us to get our minds right, to renew our minds, to think as you think, not the way the world thinks, not the way we thought before we knew you. May you help us now. We need your wisdom. We need your thinking. I need you to give me exact words, exact thoughts, the right illustrations in your word, and help us to see what you have for us today, and help us to have our minds, as you said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. May we have the mind of Christ. Help us to do so in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage, it talks about putting off some things and putting on some things. Verse 12, put on therefore as elect of God, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. These things we're supposed to put on. Earlier in the chapter, in verse 7, 8, 9, 10, it talks about putting things off. So biblically, the Bible says you're supposed to take some things and put them off. So if I was taking my coat here, and we take this off, and then... So you put off certain things, malice, anger, wrath, verse 8, all these things. You take them and put them off. By the way, I know I'm not supposed to wear a short sleeve shirt with a suit. I was getting a family photo, and all my white shirts were short sleeve. And now you know why I did that. And so you take off this, and you put it there. And if that bothers you, oh well. But you take it off. Now we're supposed to put something on. And in other words, what many Christians try to do is they try to just put something new on their life, but they still got their old thing on there. You can't, listen, if you went out, if you wear your clothes all day today and tomorrow, and then you said, you know what, I need to change my clothes, so you went and you put a new pair of clothes over the top of your old clothes, that's not good. It doesn't work. You have to put some things off. But it's also not enough just to put things off. You have to put on the things later. You get rid of the bad, and then you put the good in its place. You be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. It's the Bible law of replacement. You have to put certain things off, then you have to put things on. If you leave just the things off, you're in worse shape, because the Bible tells the story of the demon who was cast out and brought back seven more into the empty house. You've got to get rid of the bad, then you have to put the good on. And there are some things that are bad. People say, it's all about love. And it's all about good. Those things are great, but it's also about no bad. It's both things. Both of them matter. So you're supposed to put those things off. And then it's interesting. It says in verse 13, a very interesting phrase, forbearing one another. We're supposed to be merciful and kind and humble and meekness and long-suffering. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. The word forbearing is different than forgiving. The word forbearing, it literally means to put up with. Forbearing means enduring. Can I tell you one of the things that make you feel so much better? There are people that you are not going to like. Okay? You're supposed to love them. And they're just people who will bother you. And the Bible says put up with them. but they bother me. They're so irritating. They know how to push my buttons. Forbearing. In love. So you know what? I don't necessarily like them, but I'm going to love them. And you can do that. Does that make you feel better? Because I even said, I just can't. No, you can't. You might not be able to like them. That's understandable. There's people who aren't very likable, amen? Amen. But you can love them. Okay? So learn to just, certain people, you just say, I got to be with them. I'll just tough it out. Do you see how you're in control? Not them controlling you. You decide, I'm going to be able to deal with them. You ever steeled yourself to go be around certain people? Oh, I got to go be with them. Okay. Okay, I'm going to be prepared for this. That's good. You learn to do that. And that's what the Bible says. You do that. Now, all those other things are good. You forgive. You have mercy. You have humbleness. But some people you just put up with. And you just endure it. And you do that. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye also. How did God forgive you? Were you perfect when he forgave you? No. Did he do it because you're so great? No, he did it because he was so great. He did it completely. He didn't hold grudges. And the same way God forgives you, you forgive them. And above all things, put on charity, love. Love completes us. That's the end. And then verse 15 is where I want to focus here. All that is going to matter to the message, but I want to focus on verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, here's we got to renew our thinking for a minute here. I'm gonna go backward and build some things. The truth you have to understand, because it's not naturally in our minds. Your mind does not think this way. Our entire society thinks wrong on this, and it's been programmed wrong through entertainment and many other things. It's wrong on this. Your heart, the Bible says a lot about it. Your heart is biblically your seat of your emotions. It's the core of your emotions, your deepest emotions. Love the Lord with all of your heart. Okay? That's your core of your emotions, okay? Our society teaches you that you should follow your heart is good. That is diametrically opposed to the Bible. The Bible says your heart, the seat of your emotions, is completely unreliable and should not be trusted. Proverbs 28, verse 26 says that he that trusteth in his heart is a fool. Okay? You do not trust your emotions and your heart. Jeremiah tells it in chapter 17, verse 9, it says this, the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? These are our depth of our emotions, and we are not to trust them, but it says that the peace of God rule in your heart. Okay? What I want you to understand here, this lesson's about emotions. Emotions, biblically speaking, are very important, but they are not to rule. They're not to be in charge. Emotions make us feel. Emotions make us feel anger or sadness or fear or love. There's two kinds of love in the Bible. Now understand this, and I is a whole message I can't develop, but there's two types of love in the Bible. One is agape. That's God's love. It is not an emotion. Very important. God's kind of love we're going to talk about is not an emotion. It's a fruit. But there's another kind of love. It's phileo is a Greek word. That is an emotion. That's fondness. I love that guy. That's fondness. Okay? That's our emotional feeling. Okay? These emotions that we have, anger, fear, the normal earthly love, liking, laughter, happiness, those are all feelings. They're great. They make us they make us feel things for people. We'd all be monotone. Nobody would smile. Nobody would realize things are wrong sometimes. Nobody would be afraid when they need to be afraid. Nobody would weep with those who weep. Emotions are okay. Emotions are good. Emotions are part of God has emotions. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. God, the Bible says God was angry with the wicked every day. God feels a whole spectrum of emotions. Emotions are not bad. But biblically, though emotions are there and they're fine, there's nothing wrong with them, the problem is they are not to be in charge. If emotions get in charge, then you get in trouble. And then you do a bunch of wrong things, and it messes up your life, and it really, really desperately messes up your mind. A general statement, there's exceptions. Our society is so messed up mentally is because they're emotionally based. They feel. I feel this, and I feel this, and I feel like this. And they think that what they feel is what matters. And because they're emotionally based, they get very messed up. Because they feel wrong, then they say, I am wrong because I feel wrong. Biblically speaking, emotions are important, but they're not to rule. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Here's the thing. Emotions are absolutely unreliable. Totally unreliable. I had a day this week, and I'm pretty stable emotionally. Everybody knows me, knows I'm just kind of a steady Eddie. And this week I had a day, and I'm sure you've had days like this, where everybody bothered me. I mean it. The dogs bothered me. The cat bothered me. The kids bothered me. The wife bothered me. The traffic bothered me. You ever had a day like that? Just like, is everybody in the world, well, I won't use the words but they're just, what is wrong with you people? And I realized that something is wrong with me. I got the nicest dog in the world. But everything bothered me that day. Why? Because my emotions are messed up for some reason. Why were they messed up? I have no idea. Because I'm human. It might have been I didn't sleep right. Sleep affects your emotions. You ever check your kid right before nap time. His emotions are messed up because his sleep is not right. Throwing the fit and everything. I'm not tired. Put him in bed. I'm not tired. And then he wakes up all happy again. Why? Because his emotions were based on sleep. I could give you some certain food with too much guacamole and pizza and pop right for bedtime, and you'd wake up and your emotions would be bad. Now, while you're eating it, emotions would be great. Why? Because your diet affects your emotions. The amount of sunlight affects your emotions. It's called vitamin D. Affects your emotions. Your emotions are affected by all kinds. You ever been happy 1 minute and then one person made you just... You're doing great until you got with them and you're like... And then you're snapping at everybody. Why? Because your emotions are unreliable. They change quickly. You can think I'm the greatest preacher in the world and all of a sudden I preach on something in particular and all of a sudden you hate my guts. Middle of one sermon. Why? Because emotions are unreliable. Because if you hate me, you're wrong. Okay? And you're because emotions are completely unreliable. If I drink too much caffeine affects me a lot. It wakes me up, keeps me awake. If I drink caffeine at 10 o'clock at night, I'll be up till 3 in the morning. If I drink too much caffeine, watch out for me. I mean. Because your emotions are affected biologically, chemically, all kinds of things. A cloudy day, all of a sudden, everybody's going bad. So let's pretend I'm driving down the road. And I look down. You ever done this? You look down and you said, I'm going 70? I don't feel like I'm going 70. You ever done that? Some of you say, I feel like I'm going 70, that's slow. I don't feel like I'm going 70. And you look at your speedometer, it says 70. And all of a sudden, look, and you're passing all the cars. You say, but I don't feel like I'm going 70. Are you going 70? Yes. But you don't feel like it. So if you are wise, that's when the policeman pulls behind you, and he says, you know how fast you're going? And you say, you know what? My speedometer says 70, but I feel like it's going 55. So you don't have a right because emotions rule. And I felt like I was going 55, and if I feel it in my heart, it's real. And the policeman says, oh, okay, fine, if you felt like you're going 55, that's fine, see you later. No. All of these facts tell you that you felt. You ever driven fast and you didn't feel like you're going that fast? And you felt like it because whatever. You know people drive faster when it gets sunny? Everybody's going to the highway at 70. Altogether. And you're going 80, and you're going, I don't feel like I'm going 80. Why? Because the people around you are going 70. And you're always going 10 miles faster than everybody else. And so, no, you don't. You're a Christian. You drive like a Christian. And you feel like but your feelings are unreliable. A bunch of players today feel like their team's going to win. Well, if they feel it strong enough, does that mean their team wins? No. They'll say, I can't believe we lost. I did not feel like we'd lose. Okay, feelings are feelings. They're completely unreliable. The problem is our society says, follow your heart. If you feel it, if it feels good, do it. Whatever you feel. I just don't feel like this is wrong. Oh, now I'm going to get in trouble. What you feel is wrong is usually based on what society you grew up in and what people around you are saying. People generally feel like the same things are right and wrong. Do you know if you were an Apache, you would feel like stealing was a very good thing? It was a sign of greatness if you're a good thief with the Apaches. And no one ever felt bad for stealing. Okay? There are people right now in the world who feel like they need to go blow up a bunch of innocent people. Right? They feel like it's the right thing to do. Because your feelings can be changed by all kinds of things, including what everybody else is doing. Well, I know we're living together, but I don't feel like there's anything wrong with it. Okay. And that got awfully lonely and quiet in here. I don't feel like preaching that because somebody might not like what I say. When you start basing things on feelings, when there's facts, the person who's high on certain drugs will feel like they can jump out the building and fly. Can they fly? No. Because they feel like it? What if they really feel like it? Does what you feel make it a fact? No. You do not let feelings rule your life. Well, I feel like it'd be okay to get revenge on them. I feel like it's the right thing to do in this situation. If you rely on feelings, you will be a mess. And here's what happens. When feelings get primary, right and wrong goes out the door. But even more what we're talking about today, I'm not talking about morality. Well, the big thing that happens is our society is completely feeling-based. And so they base everything in life on their feelings. And if your feelings are down, something's wrong with you. I just feel really bad about this. I feel really down all the time. Something's wrong with me. Maybe. Maybe not. When someone understands and puts feelings in their proper place, you can walk up to them and say, how is it going? And they can say, terrible. And you can say, how are you doing? And they'd say, great. Because feelings are not ruling. And by the way, the bad thing is, since our country, and by the way, television, entertainment, our whole system, and our everything, it really stirs up the emotions. So people are just, feelings are so big, and they feel so much, and everything's about feeling so much that they can't even think logically because it's all about how they feel. And so even it's leaked into the church, and now in Christianity, every church is trying to give everybody an emotional experience, not a spiritual experience. And they say, well, I just felt it there. Felt what? They were preaching bad doctrine. But no, I felt. When I went there, I just felt. Okay, tell me what's good about the church without using the word feel. I learned. I saw. They did. The word of God. But even now, we think it's not a good church if I don't feel everything. And now the churches feel like they have to be entertainment centers because they have to make people feel in order to make them leave right. And then they feel so close to God on Sunday, and they're ready to conquer the world, and they hit Monday, and they're like, back in the world, back in the weakness, back in a failure. Why? Because an emotional experience lasts until your emotions change. A spiritual experience is permanent. It's not about the feelings. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Just a few points here. Number one, you should try to control your emotions. Tell yourself how to feel. Romans chapter 12, let me read you some verses here. what I said. Now there are a bunch of verses that say a lot of that. Romans chapter 12. And verse 12. let's go to verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. You choose to go weep with somebody if they're weeping, the Bible says. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Do not allow that. I'm going to tell you a big secret. You ready? There are sometimes, on rare occasions, where for that truth, I need to express what God is feeling and God's mad about something. And I will write in my notes, get mad here. Why? Because after a while, you learn to control emotions, not emotions controlling you. Okay? Now, you can't completely control emotions. If you see some tragic thing, you're going to feel down. If you see something happy and good, if you someone walks up and gives you chocolate, you're going to say, I'm not going to allow myself to feel happy. No, it's okay. Emotions are fine. They're just in their place. And you choose to control them. Let not your heart be troubled. You let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let peace rule over emotions. Do not be a person who just, I just feel like this. I'm not. Look, do you only go to work when you feel like going to work? Well, I don't feel like going to work, so it's not right to go to work, is what I feel. No. You have to go to work and you don't feel like it. Do you only study when you feel like studying? You've got to conquer the feelings and do what's right. You've got to learn to control emotions. Now, you'll feel them. You will feel if you're normal, unless you get medicated out of feeling, and you can do that. But you will feel things, and you say, wow, I feel this, and then you say, is this feeling right or wrong, and am I going to allow this to make my choices? You never allow feelings to make your choices. That's not what they're for. They are not to decide your big decisions in life. Number two, if you feel wrong, your emotions should not be in charge. Colossians 3:14, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let me take it to Matthew 4. And if you don't understand that emotions are not to rule, Matthew 5 will not make much sense to you. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The funny thing is, if you don't have the King James Version, your Bible is going to say, happy are those that mourn. That doesn't make sense. It's a mistranslation. The word blessed means, it means supremely blessed. It's a state of being. You are a blessed person. It does not mean you're happy. If you're mourning, you're not happy. Blessed are they that mourn. Why are they blessed when they're mourning? For they shall be comforted. Do you understand? A person who might be mourning for certain things, they can say, I am sad, I'm sorrowful right now, my loved one passed away or whatever, but I'm blessed. I am lost. I'm being persecuted as a Christian. It's hard, it hurts. My family is not accepting this and they're making fun of me. But Lord, you said it's okay. And in heaven, I'll get great comfort. So you are blessed, though you are not happy. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice in that day and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you. That's controlling your emotions. You say be exceedingly glad when you're persecuted. That's controlling your emotions. You're choosing to be exceedingly glad. Why? You're going to think about something greater than how you feel being persecuted. You're going to think about incredible rewards in heaven, and that's going to rule over these things. Let me take you to Matthew 26 now. Watch Jesus do this. Watch Jesus not let emotions, and we're very thankful he didn't, because we'd be in a great fix if Jesus would have let his emotions rule. Matthew 26 and verse 38. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful emotions, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch and pray with me. And he went unto the Father and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Did you just catch that? Jesus' emotions were so sorrowful, knowing that he would be separated from the Father, the death of the cross, the sins of the world going on him, and all the things that were going to come. And he said, I am sorrowful unto death. I'm so sad. I feel like I'm going to die. And he's feeling that. And he said, pray for me. And he's so sad. Jesus felt that. Then what did he do? Lord, if this cup from passed from me, it'd be great. I don't want this. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Who ruled? His emotions or the will of God? Do you see it? His emotion says, don't go to the cross. You're going to take sins. You're going to be separated from the Father. You're going to know what hell is like. These people are terrible. They've done nothing but reject God. You're going to have to suffer for what you didn't do. You're going to have to go through all this. The Father, you're going to say, my God, why has thou forsaken me? And his emotion said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I don't feel like witnessing. I don't either. But I'm commanded. So I got to do what's right. Is there ever a Sunday you don't feel like going to church? Probably. You know what you do? You say, I just don't feel like it. Well, that's nice, but I'm going to go because I'm supposed to. I'm letting something greater rule than just my emotions. Because your emotions can help you. I really want to feed that person. Awesome. That's good. That makes it easy to do right. You know what's really nice is when your emotions match up with what you're supposed to do, and with greater things. They don't always. So emotions help you. When you first find the person you're supposed to marry, your emotions start off that relationship. Oh boy, I like her. I like him. He's so cute. She's so handsome. Boy, I like. Oh man, she's so fun to be around. I can't wait. I like to be. That's all emotion. That's all fine. But if you want to have a good marriage, you better grow into something greater than just what you feel toward them. Because someday you're going to wake up and look at them, and you're not going to feel the same thing you felt yesterday. And his barrel chest is going to roll downhill, and it's going to be a barrel belly. And she won't be quite as pretty as she used to be. And you'll find out that his feet stink. And you're going to find out, you know what? There better be something more than just feelings in this relationship, because feelings are good. They're awesome. Makes you look at your kid and say, oh, that kid is so much fun. Awesome. Good feelings. But you know what? You have to be a good parent when they're not fun. When it doesn't feel, you don't feel like it when the baby starts crying at 3 in the morning, you don't always feel like getting up and taking care of the baby. Matter of fact, I never do. I would if I heard it. My wife says, the baby woke up 3 times last night. What was wrong with it? I said, no, and it didn't. Because I'm a man and my, you know, and we have selective hearing. But you don't always feel like doing what you should do. Sometimes you feel like smacking that person upside the head, but you can't do it. Sometimes you feel like not getting out of bed at all that day because you're so depressed. Some days you feel like you can't do it, but you got to do it. Some days you feel like all kinds of things. See, you think there's something rotten, evil about you. Say, I'm so wrong. I feel these feelings. That guy cut me off on the highway and it sort of ran his car. I feel that sometimes. Because it's human emotions and they do all kinds of weird things. But once you get out of the natural, what I feel is everything. What I feel. What do you feel like? And you say, I got to have something ruling this emotions because these emotions are powerful. So what rules your emotions? Here's the sermon. Let me just get into it real quickly. First of all, joy should rule over emotions. Let me take it to John 16. I'll spend some time around that passage, John 16. Joy should rule over emotions, John 16. You say, no, joy is an emotion. Joy is not an emotion. Joy is a fruit. See, the fruit of the Spirit is the things that are going to overcome your emotions. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. They rule over your emotions. John 16, verse 20. Verily I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, emotions, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, emotions, but your sorrows shall be turned into joy. A woman when she is in travail has sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered with child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy of the child is born in the world. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Jesus, I'll give you a joy that no human can take away. Your circumstances can be bad, they can key your car, they can cuss you out, and you might not be happy, but your joy is more powerful. No man can take the joy I give you. It's more powerful than that. My joy I'm going to give you. It's more powerful than that. Joy says, my name's written in the book of life. You say, I thought God totally left me and God doesn't love me anymore. But your joy says, I know I'm going to heaven. Life gives you hard circumstances and you fail a few things and things are going bad and your health is bad and you're troubled and your family has problems. But your joy says, I still got a home in heaven. And instead of saying, I'm hopeless, I give up, I'm just not going to be able to function, you say, I'm sad right now, but I've got hope. And you know what? This joy is going to take me through these down times. Joy. Fruit of the Spirit and the tools that God gives us are greater than emotions. Joy stays no matter what happens. Joy is the anchor that sticks in the water and grabs the rock. While emotions blow you around every direction and things come and go and good days and bad days come and everything's changing around your life and you're feeling good, and that's normal. The fluctuations of life, the fluctuation of emotions are okay, but when you have an anchor of these things that God gives us, they only take you so far. You're a little up and a little down, you're having a good time, you're having a bad time, but you're still stable, you're still secure, you're still joyful, you're still doing good, you're going to be just fine, and you can make it and exist because you have something greater than these emotions that are driving you crazy. Yes, the emotions move you and you feel, but they do not determine anything. You're going to do the same thing whether you feel it or not. What else does God give us? Peace. Let's look at John. We already read, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, but John 16 again, peace, and 32, verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, when ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and ye shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Mark, see what that temperature is on? I think it's the heat is up in here, so... The heat of the room affects your emotions, and but it gives you the sleepy emotion. And so we see here is this peace. In me ye might have peace. You're going to have tribulation, but I want you to have peace through the tribulation. Like the great song, it is well with my soul, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace, Jesus says, I give to you. It's okay. How's it going? Terrible. How you doing? Fine. How do you feel? Oh, I just feel down today. You doing all right? I'm doing good. I had a pastor call me yesterday, and he said, man, I need to talk to you. He said, I'm struggling. I don't know what is wrong with me. I'm down. I'm just really, really out of it. And I said, well, what's going on? He says, I don't know. How's the church? Man, church's doing great. How's the family? Man, they're doing good. So what's going on? He says, I don't know. Called you a human. So what's he got to do? Get up and preach this morning. Preach tonight. Do the work of God. Love some people. Help some needy people. And do what you're supposed to do. And be down. The thing about it is when you've got these things like joy and peace, you don't get out here where you can't function. Where you need to medicate it out of it. Where you have to go drink yourself out of it. Where you have to do something. You are... Okay. I'm going to get myself in big trouble. You ready? Who's ready for me to get in big trouble? Okay, thank you. Hey, I'm in big trouble here. Where do all these... Okay, logic for a sec here. Let me slowly get myself in big trouble. Humanity has existed for a lot of years, thousands of years, in thousands of cultures. I will be in the Philippines with people who have way bigger problems than people in America. Why do Americans take almost all the antidepressants when they have more than everybody? Why is that? How do people in Haiti, when I go there, how do they deal with it if the Haitian is bipolar? They're not. So what is it? Okay, the humans have existed for thousands of years. Here's what happens in America. People do not know how to restrain their emotions, and their emotions just go as far as they can go. And yes, now the person is bipolar, correct. It's because they have no control over their emotions. It's like a person who can't get out of a chair because they haven't stood up in 10 years. Does that make sense? If they, and we've done this with so many people who are severe anxiety and severe depression and chronic and clinical depression, all those things, we've dealt with all of them and had victory over all of them, we have to start exercising their muscles of their emotions. We have to make them start controlling their emotions, and they get stronger and stronger, and pretty soon, now, their anchor is here, and they'll pull out the hair and say, I'm feeling miserable today, but it's not, I don't have any reason to live, I'm hopeless, nobody loves me. They're not out here because they've learned their emotions are illogical, and they control them, and they also don't get weird when they get too happy. Because the emotions don't rule. Okay, now that's my trouble thing. All right, am I in trouble? How many think I'm in trouble? Raise your hand. How many think I'm okay? Never mind. My peace give unto you. Peace will rule in your heart. Next thing, faith. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians. I got too many verses here. Oh, I'm doing better on time than I thought. 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. And by the way, learning to control your emotions is not faking. You really did control your emotions. Sometimes you have to fake. Sometimes you have to just smile when you don't feel like smiling. Not a hypocrite. If you don't feel like being kind and you're kind anyway, that's not hypocrisy. Okay? You don't need to express every single emotion. Every car that cuts you off, you don't have to ram. Okay? You don't have to express everything. You control it. Okay. Where are we? 2 Corinthians 4. Tell me how Paul is doing. Ready? I want to ask you. Tell me how Paul is doing. Verse 8. 2 Corinthians 4, 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our mortal bodies. So then death worketh in us, and life, but life in you. How's Paul doing? Hard question to answer, isn't it? He's doing about like you are when you think you're broken. And there's something wrong with you. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. We don't know what's going on. But not in despair. We're over here, but we're not out there. People are different emotional levels, but everybody's got to be able to say, hey, I got to put a break on this. You know what? I know I'm having a bad day, but I got to go home to a family. I have a house. I have running water. God loves me. I'm still saved. I can walk. I can see. I can hear. What am I thinking? Why was I thinking? I'm hopeless. And I'm, what am I thinking? because your emotions will not be logical. You ever had somebody say to you, you're going, what's wrong with you? So-and-so loves you, so-and-so loves you, so-and-so loves you, so-and-so loves you. What are you talking about? I love you. No, you, nobody else, you don't love me. You don't say it because you hate me. What's wrong with you? And you, no, you don't do that. You say, you know what? I'm going to weep with you. Listen, I have five daughters. They think different than me. My wife explained to me. I'm a solution person. They came and said, Dad, I'm struggling with this and this and this. I said, look, the way to solve this is this. First, you take this step, and then do this. After that, you do this, and then it'll be solved. All right, have a good day. That's me. I'm pragmatic. I solve problems. My wife had to sit me down and say, honey, this is not how you solve a teenage girl's problems. That is true. I keep the exact solution. No, you listen. Oh, okay. So I figured out how to solve their problems. You know, and they're not emotional wrecks at all. They're very stable. But, you know, listen, we learn that there's things greater than emotions, and we learn that we've got to be able to feel and do feel, but we rule with greater things. And though we're down, we're not broken. Next thing that helps us rule is faith. Let joy and peace and faith rule over your emotions. Faith. I love Psalm 42. I read that the other week. Why art thou cast down on my soul? I'm depressed. And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is my help and my salvation. I'm down, but I believe that I'm going to be just fine. God's going to take care of me. I don't know why I'm so depressed. Why are you down? Well, you know God's going to take care of you. There's so many psalms I've written down to look at that. Matthew 5, you're being persecuted. But you know what? Rejoice in that day. Why? Because you believe God's going to give you reward in heaven. Jesus told the disciples, I'm leaving you. And you're going to sigh and weep. But let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Have faith that no matter what happens, heaven's your home, and you'll be okay. Faith conquers those emotions. Yes, you're emotionally sad, I'm leaving you, but you've got this faith that says, Jesus is coming again, and I'm going to go to heaven. And so I'm sorrowful. You know what? I'm going to be right here. I'll still be here. I'm okay. Because I know that heaven is my home. Let faith rule over your emotions. Next, let love rule over your emotions. I know it doesn't make sense if you think love is this emotional thing, but love is more solid than that. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And then we're going to 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter of love. I think I'm going to be able to get through my whole sermon. If I wouldn't have, I don't know what I would have done. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. Watch what Paul says here. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul says, I'm going to love you and love you and love you and spend myself for you, even though you don't love me back. Why? Charity never faileth. I don't feel any love back from you. I don't feel anything good back from you. But I'm going to do the right thing, even if you can't give anything back. Even if you don't do the right thing, I'm going to do the right thing because I love you. There'll be times you don't feel like serving God, but you love God so much you're going to do it anyway. If you love me, keep my commandments. Not if you feel like you keep my commandments. Love never fails. Love will rule over emotions. Agape, unconditional, godly type of love is more powerful than the shallow, I feel it type of emotions. 1 Corinthians 13, in just verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, did not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Let love rule. One more thing that rules, and we'll just finish up. Psalm 119, let the Bible rule. Let me tell you, no matter what you feel, the Bible's still true. Let God be true and every man a liar. So this is the most important one. Yes, let peace rule. Yes, let love rule. Let joy rule. All these things. But the word of God abides forever. Watch a man mix emotions with obedience. The word of God, Psalm 119 does it a ton. I'll just give you a few of the verses. Psalm 119, verse 81. Watch his emotions and watch his drawing back to the word of God in those emotions. Psalm 119, verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become as like a bottle of smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many of the days of thy servant, when wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. It's all about the Bible. Verse 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep thy testimonies of thy mouth. Verse 92, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Verse 95, the wicked have waited to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let God be true and every man a liar. The word of God is always right, even if you don't feel it. Even if you don't feel like it's right. Even if you don't feel like obeying. Even if you don't feel like what it says is right. It is still true. Thy word is truth. When you base your life on the word of God, the Bible says you're like a man who built his house upon a rock, and the winds came, and the floods blew, and the wind storms came, and the waters came to beat against it, and the waves and the winds all beat against it, but the house on the rock didn't move. That's built on the word of God. Why? Because emotions pound it. And pound your life, but you are built on a rock, and the rock is the word of God. And you're just fine. Storms come in life, and they affect your emotions. But if your house is built on the word of God, you'll be okay. I've seen it. I've lived it. I've watched it. I've experienced it. I've seen people do it. You build your life on the word of God, and you say, I don't care what I feel. The Bible's right. The Bible says this, and I feel this. I look at my speedometer. It says 70. I feel like I'm going 55. The police say I'm going 70. Everybody around me is looking at me and I'm going too fast. You know what? I'm going to not base it on what I feel. I must be going faster than I think. This might really be wrong, even though I don't feel like it's wrong. By the way, you do anything wrong long enough, you'll quit feeling it's wrong. You'll get calloused. Just do something that's wrong long enough. Get around someone doing something wrong long enough and you'll feel like it's okay to do it. You'll justify it. You'll make excuses. You'll use your emotions and stir up emotions. And you will eventually justify whatever it is. Hey, you're told a lie long enough, you'll believe it. So, if the Bible and joy and peace and love are ruling, you say, I don't feel like being married anymore. Tough. Stay married. Do what God says. I want to get revenge. It feels, this is not right. What they did to me is not right. I need to get them back. You can justify it. But the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You don't do it. I feel like this is okay. I know the Bible has some questions about it, but you know what? I think it's okay. God understands my circumstances. So you're justifying and using your emotions to say, people go to church, by the way. I don't have to go to church. I just don't feel like I need to worship God at a building. Okay, except for God tells you to go to church. Why don't I feel like I need to? Well, that's fine. But everybody, but it's strange, 100 years ago, everybody felt they needed to together. And they felt guilty they didn't go to church because everybody in society said, you need to go to church. Now they say you don't need to go to church, but the Bible didn't change at all. It still commands you to go to church. But I don't feel like it. Okay. Do that with work tomorrow. I don't feel like going to work. Tell your boss, I don't feel like doing that job. And it's right, because I feel it. See how that goes. Go to a store and say, I don't feel like paying for that thing. Just because you feel something doesn't make it accurate. Doesn't change anything. Of course. course, doing wrong and getting revenge or whatever feels good, doesn't it? Doesn't getting even feel good? Doesn't sleeping in feel good? Doesn't wasting your money feel good? Doesn't it feel? It feels good, but feelings are. And I want to go to a church where I feel good. In the book of Acts, when they went to church, they got pierced to the heart. Oh, what shall we do? Well, I don't feel good when that happens. They go to the doctor. I want a surgery that feels good. Listen, it's not all about feelings. If you get to go to church, the devil preaches. Subliminal, Freudian. And the preacher preaches the devil out of you. That's a good thing. If you feel convicted, maybe you need to. You know, conviction's not bad. God convicts me of my sin. I'm glad. I'm really glad about that. Okay, ready? The deepest ones are really, you've really got to get over. I don't feel God loves me anymore. People say that. You know what? You might not feel, that might be an accurate statement. You do not feel like God loves you anymore. Probably true. But God says nothing can separate us from the love of God. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. So you would take your faith and you take the word of God and you say, you know what? I don't feel like God loves me anymore, but God loves me. And instead of saying, I give up, God didn't love me anymore, I'm not worthy of his love. I just feel so unworthy. You do, and you feel all that, but it didn't change the fact God loves you. And you live by faith and you do not get too depressed. You don't get hopeless that God doesn't love you, because he does love you. He'll never stop loving you. He says, I love you. He loved you while you were a sinner. He loved you no matter what you did. You do not say, God, I just don't feel like God loves me. I give up. You say, I don't feel like God loves me today, but my emotions are messed up because God loves me unconditionally. And you go, man, Lord, I just don't feel like you love me. And you express it. And you feel it. And you say, Lord, I'm going to look at your word, and you said you love me unconditionally. I believe that. I'm going to keep on going. I feel like God has left me. Hebrews 13:5, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you feel like God's left you, he never leaves you once you're saved. Do you follow? So all these points are just saying, feel. Do feel. Feelings are fun. Feelings are great. If you wouldn't have felt today, all my jokes would have went flat. Okay? You felt they were funny. Okay? Thank God. And you feel convicted. Feelings fine. But do not let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in Jesus. And trust God and just say, I'm going to do the right thing whether I feel like it or not. I am not going to live by feelings. I'm just going to let them make me feel. But I'm still going to stay on the right track whether I feel like it or not. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Thank you for the word of God. It is a wonderful thing that we have something more than just what we feel to base our lives on. But Lord, this is something our minds need to renew in. We are an emotional-based society. And we go and we hurt people sometimes because we feel. We do the wrong thing sometimes because we feel so strongly about something. Help us not to base anything on emotions, but on the word of God and on the fruit of love, joy, peace. Lord, help us to have these things in faith. And I pray today that we would change the way we think to something more stable and strengthen our minds and strengthen our emotions and strengthen our souls. And not justify, but believe you. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name.